In 1962, the cold relationship between the U.S. and Cuba got even chillier. That's when President Kennedy authorized a covert invasion of Cuba to oust Fidel Castro. The attempted ouster was the Bay of Pigs invasion, and it failed miserably. Kennedy's aide, Pierre Salinger, told this story about what happened next.
And about a month after the Bay of Pigs, the president called me into his office around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, said, "I really need some help." I said, "What do you want, Mr. President?" He said, "I need some cigars." The president smoked Cuban cigars. He smoked the Petit Upman, as I remember it. So I said, "Fine, how many do you need?" He said, 1,000. I said, "When do you need them?" He said, "By tomorrow morning." I said, "That's a very tough assignment, but I'll see what I can do." Anyway, I was smoking a lot of cigars myself in those days, so I contacted a lot of my stores. And next morning, I got to the office at 8 o'clock, and the president was already ringing me from the Oval Office. "Come right in, come right in. How'd you do?" I said, "I did very well, Mr. President." "How many did you get?" "I got 1,200. "Fantastic." He opens up his desk drawer, and he pulls out the decree banning all Cuban products from the United States and signs it.
Cuban cigars are legendary. Many cigar aficionados say they're the best cigars around, but they haven't been available for sale in the U.S. since 1962. Joe Arendall is general manager of Rain City Cigar. That's a specialty cigar store in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood. When President Obama announced the U.S. and Cuba would reestablish relations, Arendall's store got about a dozen phone calls. He told Jeannie Yandel every caller had the same question: "When will you have Cuban cigars to sell me?" And that is a hard question to answer.
Well, that's a big, you know, when, because we still have a trade embargo with Cuba. So that embargo would have to be lifted. And the way I understand that is it has to go through Congress. And there are a lot of members of Congress that aren't very happy with the move that President Obama did. So if it goes through and clears, then, you know, my best guess would be if it has straight sailing through Congress, we probably could see cigars 6 months to a year after it passes through, you know, both houses.
What did you think about the fact that a dozen people have called you asking about this?
Well, I think people are excited. You know, obviously they didn't quite understand what was being announced, but people are excited because they get to try something, you know, quote, the forbidden fruit of the cigar industry. They now have an opportunity to try them, and they wanted to see if they were available right away.
Aside from the fact that Cuban cigars are the forbidden fruit, as you just said, what's so special about them? Why do people think they're so fantastic?
Well, Cuban cigars, and if you're a wine person, you can appreciate this. If we have a Cabernet grape and we grow it in France and we grow it in California and we grow it in Washington State, you would think that when the wine was made, these wines would be identical, but we know that they're not, because there's a thing that, you know, comes from microclimates that have an effect on the product. And in the case of tobacco, Cuba has its own microclimate, so it has a distinctive character and taste compared to other countries like the Dominican or Nicaragua that also grow and make cigars.
I'm talking with Joe Arendall. He's one of the owners of Rain City Cigars. He's also the manager there. We're talking about what President Obama's announcement about reestablishing relations with Cuba will mean for the cigar industry and for his store. You mentioned a couple of other countries that have cigar-making industries who sell to the U.S. You mentioned the Dominican Republic. You mentioned Nicaragua. What issues do you see between those cigar-making industry countries and Cuba as this new market, the U.S., is potentially opened up for Cuba?
Well, I think, you know, from a retail perspective, all these countries are going to be fighting for shelf space. Everybody wants to have that space available on the shelf to present their product to the public, and we only have so much of that. So there'll be some adjustments in our purchases as time goes on based on what the customer demand is. One of the interesting things about cigar brands is in many cases there's two versions of that cigar brand. Let's take Monte Cristo, which is a storied brand that at one time originated in Cuba, but when Fidel came to power, the people that owned that brand fled the country, and they established that same brand in the Dominican Republic. So now you have two Monte Cristos. You have a Dominican Monte Cristo, and you have a Cuban Monte Cristo. When the time comes, if the folks that own the brand rights to Monte Cristo don't have them registered in the U.S., meaning the Cuban government, that they're not going to be able to use that. And probably one that really stands out clearly to me is Cohiba. Cohiba was a brand that Fidel's government developed as a gift to diplomats, and over the years it has become a major brand for them, and subsequently they sell it as a retail product instead of a diplomatic gift. That brand is not registered in the United States by the Cuban government. It's actually owned by General Cigar Company, and they own the rights to Cohiba, and they sell Cohiba cigars in the United States. So when we get to the point where the Cubans want to sell Cohibas in the U.S., they're going to have to sit down with these folks and work out some arrangements because they don't have clear rights in the U.S. to market that product.
So are there two Cohibas, essentially?
There are two Cohibas, yes.
I'm assuming that you have smoked Cuban cigars before, as someone who's worked in this industry for almost 20 years.
Well, I could be incriminating myself by saying so, because they've been under embargo since, the early 60s. I can say that I've smoked a pre-embargo Cuban cigar, and it's a good cigar. One of the things that has happened over the years, though, is that a lot of the other countries have invested heavily in their cigar industries, and it's not uncommon to have cigars from the Dominican, Nicaragua, Honduras, top Cuban cigars. That said, the last year's number one cigar in the ratings from Cigar Aficionado was Cuban. This year, 2014, the ratings for the number one cigar is actually a cigar from Nicaragua. So, they make good cigars. They're unique in terms of their flavor profile, but they're not necessarily the only good cigar.
Joe Arundel is general manager of Rain City Cigar in Georgetown. He spoke with Jeannie Yandel.